You're listening to another exciting edition of Duncan's Pulse right here on Dragon Digital Radio. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, keeping you company for the next 28-29 minutes or so. So glad to have you there, the other side of your listening device. If you want to get in touch with me, you want to be on the program, love to hear from you. rstafford@howardcc.edu. Again, rstafford@howardcc.edu. Came across the name of my guest today by way of an email on adjunct faculty, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but she has a very, and I do mean a very, extensive music background. I'm talking, of course, about the coordinator of music therapy here at HCC. Her name is Rita Mayhew. Rita, welcome to Duncan's Pulse.
Thank you.
Let's just go into your background. You seriously know your music, and you know about choirs. Talk about how you got involved in singing, choir directing. I'm looking here. You graduated from Notre Dame with a Bachelor's of Arts degree there, and you started out your career as an elementary vocal music teacher. Let's just begin there. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, the reason I got into choral singing was because my voice teacher sang a lot with Robert Shaw and his chorale.
Wow.
And so she asked me to, she said, audition for the chorus, orchestra chorus in Cleveland,
right,
which at the time was the number one orchestra in the world. And so I made it in right after they had done the Pablo Casals Festival in Puerto Rico. I missed that concert. I really would have loved that one. But this was a cool story. My teacher, the gal who was supposed to sing the solo, got sick on Wednesday. It was a Thursday night first performance.
Right.
So they asked her to do the soprano solo. So she had from Wednesday afternoon to Thursday evening to perform the solo. And so I was able to do that with her on my first concert with the orchestra. It was really cool.
And that was in Cleveland?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what made the transfer? What did you teach elementary school there before moving to Maryland, or talk about the transfer to Maryland?
Oh, that's a long story. I was teaching, and then I worked at the Cleveland Institute of Music.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I eventually decided to go into music therapy, went down to New Orleans, Loyola University in New Orleans.
Right.
And I re-met my future husband, and we got together, and he ended up back in the Army, and we were stationed in Hawaii. He'd gone to dental school, and he was doing identification of the remains, forensic odontology of the remains coming back from mostly Vietnam. They're doing more Korean ones now.
Right.
But so he did a wonderful job doing that for 4 years. And then from there, we came to Maryland.
Okay. Talk about the music therapy work. And I mean, I know you also have your certification in special ed and you're board certified. Music therapy. I mean, I've heard a little bit about it. Just go into what the details are with that, if you would.
Music therapy is the use of music as a tool to enhance a person's quality of life. The person who does it should be trained and board certified. We work with all populations, all ages, all needs, and in many areas, people don't even know where we work and what we do, but in schools, in prisons, in medical hospitals, psychiatric hospitals, daycares, public schools. We teach, of course.
This is more than just, you know, finding the right song and, you know, making it an impact in their life.
I mean, exactly.
But it's really, I mean, there is healing power in music. And I've mentioned on the program, I have a minor in music, so I know, at least I like to think I know, that a little something about the healing power of music. Is there a certain, what kind of ages, I mean, and backgrounds are we talking about here? You mentioned just a few of those. Obviously, you have to tailor the appropriate music to the appropriate person.
Exactly. And you hit the nail on the head. It's patient-preferred music.
Okay.
So you have to know a lot of different kinds of music. If you don't know it, you have to learn it. Once you speak with them, multicultural. There's a lot of diversity in the patients we work with.
Okay.
So, and then, two, what do we want the music to do?
Right.
What do we want to use it for? For a physical disability, for an emotional problem, for a behavioral thing?
Okay.
It's so much training and background and studying to make sure that what we do is appropriate and beneficial to each person we work with.
Okay. I want to go into that a little bit more after the break. We've got about 4 minutes to our first break. Talk about how you came to Howard Community College, if you would. Talk about your beginnings there. And I mean, you developed the music therapy program.
Right. Well, we had come back. We were now stationed here.
Okay.
My husband was at...
I didn't mean to jump you around. Just go ahead.
Yeah, Fort Meade. But okay. So I had just started here. I mean, I had just come to Maryland. So I was substitute teaching, and I suffered an aneurysm, a brain aneurysm in the car. I drove myself to the hospital.
Good.
it was crazy. And luckily somebody saw me and he said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "I don't think so."
Was that here in Columbia? Or was that
the doctor here saved my life, because it's very hard to diagnose that.
Yeah.
And so he said, this was right before they moved, they decided to be with Johns Hopkins. So this is kind of a plug for the shock trauma.
There you go.
Because he said you could go to one or the other. He said, "I would go to shock trauma." I said, "Good for me. I'll go." And so they had surgery. And, you know, I said, I think I'm still okay. But
you're still clicking and ticking.
I was recuperating.
That's right.
And so I was home and doing stuff, and I didn't know a lot of computer stuff. So I said, I'm going to take classes. And then I started joined the choir, started talking with Deborah Kent, who had this wonderful vision of what she wanted the music department to be.
And that's here at Howard, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
And she really was the force behind the music department growing and establishing all these wonderful programs, including when she found out that I had worked at the Music Institute in Cleveland and that I was a music therapist. I was a double edged
sword.
Well, in a good way for her.
That's right.
Because that's when I started the Music Institute. We called it the MAC then,
right.
And the music therapy. So that's how music therapy got started.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
Long story.
No, that's fine. Believe me, I love backstory. I mean, backstory is what I do my work in. So talk about the growth and approximately what years was that? How many years ago was that when the music therapy curriculum was designed?
So right before 9/11.
Okay.
17
years.
Yeah, it's a while 16, ago. 16. Oh, we went through a growing pains because we didn't know. I had not taught music therapy in the university setting, so I had to look into that. And I was raising kids. I wasn't doing a lot of music therapy at the time.
Right.
So
so
we both had to go back to school and learn a bunch of things. And I actually went to a lot of the AMTA, American Music Therapy Association, conferences and so forth, talked to a lot of people, and turns out the courses that I had decided on lined up pretty well with the four-year schools, because it's a four-year program.
Wow.
We don't have a four-year program in Maryland yet.
Okay.
I think there might be one around the corner, but so far HCC is it.
Wow.
So that's...
Well, thanks to you. I mean, sort of, I guess. So you went essentially back to school for, I mean, you knew music therapy, but sort of bringing, you're sort of learning from the ground up with this program.
Right, sessions about the proper curriculum and so forth. Yeah.
Fantastic. We're going to take a quick break. We'll dive a little bit more into, you know, how you do music therapy and everything else. We'll have that in just a moment. My guest for this half hour is Coordinator of Music Therapy here at HCC, Rita Mayhew. Back with more of Duncan's Pulse in just a moment.
Okay. So just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay. Then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect to Compete and the Ad Council.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
And we are back. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, keeping you company for the next few minutes, about 20 minutes or so, here on Duncan's Pulse. Again, so glad to have her in studio. Her name is Rita Mayhew. She is the coordinator of music therapy. Rita, when we left before the break, we were talking about just sort of getting, I was going to say, your feet wet with the HCC curriculum and developing the music therapy curriculum. Let's go into sort of give me an overview of what's happened over the last 16 years and the progress you all have made in that area.
Well, luckily, since I was running the Music Institute, I asked Deborah if I could do music therapy through the Music Institute.
Okay.
If I could hold sessions and reach out to the community, and she said absolutely. So since the Music Institute started, we've had music therapy. When it started, I was the only one doing it. And so I worked with anybody and anyone who came, and so it's kind of considered private practice music therapy. Mm. Then eventually we would hire another music therapist.
Okay.
And so we have Amy Tenney is doing that for us right now. She's got individual clients that she works with. She is going to have a group session this summer, maybe two.
Nice.
And we've worked with the art department in music therapy and art with kids with special needs.
Wow.
And then, of course, I do the senior choir, which is wellness music therapy.
Huh.
We've worked with I work with people that have special needs, mainly children right now. We've worked a lot with children, but we also work with adults.
Part of my background in education, I worked as a music teacher in Arbutus. I still remember some of the days were just terrifying. There was high school girls. It was Good Shepherd Center. I don't know if you're familiar with the facility. I was there for 2 years. I was their music teacher there. And some of those girls, in the day they were in my class, they wanted to kill themselves. I just will say that right now. But my job was to somehow teach music in that environment. And I did the best daggone job I could. Still like tearing up right now just because it was so interesting and emotional. And you know this because there's something about the special needs. I mean, IEP and all that technical stuff with the government aside. But the power that music had, I remember I had one student, I may have shared this on a previous Pulse program. She could come in and play Vanessa Carlton's 1,000 Miles. I didn't teach her anything before she came in. You know, she came in, bright young girl, came in, played it. I had pianos out and just wowed me. And I knew that music had a special place in her life. But I'm also know that you have to know, again, we talked about this a few minutes ago. You have to know the student in order to use the right music. Is it just, it's not background music. Talk about how you actually use music in the classroom with the therapy sessions.
Well, again, like you say, it depends on each one. And right. if I have someone that comes in who has a lot of musical talent and skills, sometimes we try to teach them more academic parts so they meld together.
Right.
Because a lot of times parents want them to work eventually. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they want to have a real life. Sometimes they come in and it's just for pleasure, just to relax. Hmm. Sometimes I have one gal that I've been working with and through the ARC, and she wanted to do a CD. And that was her goal. So I worked with another music teacher, and we actually recorded. We learned all the music. We recorded the music, and she now has a CD. So fantastic. We're working on another one.
Wow.
Bonnie does the 60s. It's going to be great.
That's cool.
So,
that's
cool. I can share an incident where I didn't do this, but I know of another music therapist who was working with a young man about 40 who had really never had any kind of life, and he was dying. And she came to him every week. Every week he would choose a song, and she would have to learn it, a lot of them. Then she'd come back and she would sing and play it for him, and they would talk about it. And as you went through the 9 weeks that they were together, it was obviously a love story from this guy to her. It was amazing. It was so moving. When she went for the last session, he had passed away. It was really heartbreaking, but you could tell that it changed his life.
Oh, absolutely. Talk about the Bain Center Senior Choir. When you and I were talking, this is adults or is this?
Seniors.
Seniors.
Seniors. Seniors are seniors.
Senior adults. Okay. Because you and I were talking off air with the emails, and we were trying to schedule the interview, and you're thinking senior choir. I'm thinking, okay, are we talking high school? Are we talking like 60s? Okay. So we're talking adult seniors here,
yes.
Then. Senior choir, is this four-part harmony? Or
oh,
is this,
of course.
Oh, man, cool. How many of this HEC Bain Center? So this is, forgive me, this is the first I'm hearing about the Bain Center. Just talk about the collaboration there between the college and the Bain Center. What's the Bain Center?
Is a 50-plus center, okay. Howard County.
Okay.
It's just down the street. And what happens is they actually came to us, and they had a senior choir. It had dissolved, and they asked if, you know, did you want to do it? And Deborah and I said, sure.
Yeah.
So I'm the director, and
nice.
We're actually performing 5 times in the next couple of weeks.
Wow.
Well, 4. Four times in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So it's a cooperative effort between HCC and the Bain Center.
Okay.
The seniors, many of them have never sung, but many of them have singing backgrounds, so I just tell them, trust me. And we do perform. We do interesting music because it's a challenge. I want it to be a challenge, and it is therapeutic. The breathing is therapeutic. The social parts are very therapeutic. I had one gal say, if I couldn't sing, I'd die. And it's just that way with them. And the performance, actually working on research about that, because the performance aspect of it, not just sitting, singing, but actually rehearsing, learning the music, going, performing, the feedback from the audience, from each other.
Yeah.
It's very important, very important.
I had some wonderful experiences in high school, again, not to compare because I'm obviously not in my senior years yet. Let's not go there. But I was blessed to be part of the All-State Choir in my sophomore, junior, and senior years. And those were intense. I still have the video from it. Dad taped it. And it was an intensive weekend. And you had to get down there. You had to know your music. If you didn't, it was an audition. When you got to the hotel in Ocean City, if you didn't pass the audition, you were out. And luckily, I passed my audition because I had a wonderful chorus teacher who actually helped me when I was teaching middle school students about 5 or 6 years ago. Drove up from Spotsylvania to help me. Rebecca Tyree, wonderful woman. But there was something about, you know, I mean, obviously, the guys lived together and the girls and everything else, but you came together for the rehearsals, and then we sang at the conference center. What was nice was that he didn't put us, you know, sopranos on the right, altos on the left, you know, tenors on the, he mixed us up. So we had to learn our own daggone part, for crying out loud. And you've got and you've got a soprano too, probably wailing in your ear and everything else. But I always, that was 20 some years ago. I still remember that. I can just imagine as a senior, you know, when the kids are gone or you know, spouse unfortunately has passed away in some cases. My grandfather's turning 93 in a few weeks. My grandfather loved to sing, still does. But I can just imagine, I know the camaraderie on with senior adults that exists in a choir such as the Bain Center Senior Choir. I mean, you see, what do you rehearse, weekly, I guess?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes a little extra, I put in the optional rehearsal. And of course, if they have a doctor's appointment, if they're going on a trip,
yeah,
for whatever reason, if they don't come, they don't come. There's no.
I miss rehearsal. I gotta work my butt off this week.
There's no penalty for not showing up.
That's right.
So we work really hard. They do work really hard, and I just love working with them. It's really fun.
How many are in the group?
We're about 20. It varies, and we're always recruiting anybody who wants to sing. No experience necessary, and we're so inexpensive. It's under $25 per semester.
Well, that's not bad.
15. Oh no, that's excellent.
That's cheapo. Yeah.
It's very cheap. Thanks to Valerie, nice. She's been great.
Excellent. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back with more. Again, my guest is Rita Mayhew. She is the coordinator of music therapy, and she does a whole lot more here at HCC. Back with more on Duncan's Pulse in just a second.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. Other groundbreaking ideas from that time, the whalebone corset, the pedal-operated submarine, and the two-story outhouse. We've come a long way since then. It's time our light bulbs did the same. Visit EnergySavers.gov and learn about energy-saving light bulbs. See, these new bulbs are more efficient than the old ones, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. They last longer, too, like how we humans last longer now that doctors use antibiotics instead of leeches. And they cut down on our energy costs, because in our own groundbreaking age of aeroplanes and moving pictures, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
And we are back. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, keeping you company for about another 7-8 minutes or so. So glad to have with me in studio Rita Mayhew. She is the coordinator of music therapy, does a whole lot with music. You mentioned about the students and I guess sort of the student population. You wanted to address that more in detail. You and I were just talking off mic about that. Go into that a little bit more in detail if you would.
At the same time that I started the music therapy with the Music Institute, we also started the college program. Mm-hmm. And so we work with students. They come to classes, regular classes. We also always go on field trips. And this year we went down to this, took them down to Annapolis to the State House for the hearing on getting state licensure for music therapy.
Wow.
So it was a great experience for them. Normally we go to places like Maryland School for the Blind or Springfield Hospital.
Right.
And also they do practicum. So they've worked with board certified music therapists either here on campus or off campus.
Right.
They learn how to assist and even start doing some supervised music therapy with students or clients.
Wow.
So I have students that work with me with the senior choir or work with me with my clients, or they work with the other music therapists. We also started the drumming circle for the diversity program here. So drumming circle is a big activity that we use in music therapy. It's great.
Is this sort of like a drum line in high school that you would see? Or is this?
Again, no experience necessary. It's think of chanting and it's a very communal community thing. And it's just coming together and being together with the music. Somebody facilitates it. And but we also use it with in psychiatric settings, and then eventually the clients or the patients can lead small parts of it themselves. It's really excellent community socialization activity.
Wow. Man, I've got an education just from talking with you today. Oh, my word. This has been fantastic. What's been, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, what's been the most rewarding recently of all this music therapy work? I mean, you can talk about the senior choir, but really working with the students, I know how important one-on-one education is. And, you know, when I was talking with the, when I was doing my teaching work at Good Shepherd, my class size could go from 9 to 1 in a heartbeat if a girl was going to have a, as we say at home, having a fit. Talk about what's most rewarding about your work.
Recently, I think the most rewarding is my college students here. The insight and the transformation from that initial idea of what music therapy is and how we use music therapy. As you said, it's so emotional and it touches people, but there's so much more to it, and they're getting it now. It's unbelievably rewarding because that's what I like to do. That's what I I want to send them out to the next level, to other schools. We have a student at Immaculata. We have an articulation agreement with Immaculata. So Sam Dixon, who used to be here as student, graduate, and he's at Immaculata now. And this represents HCC really, really well.
Very good.
So I'm very proud of the students that we've put out here. I think they're wonderful.
That's fantastic. How can our listeners get in touch with you if they're wanting to know more about the music therapy program? What's your phone number and a good email to get in touch with you?
My email is rmayhew, M-A-Y-H-E-W, at howardcc.edu. You can call me through Jim Bailey at the Music Institute.
Great guy.
Yeah, and off the top of my head, I think his number is 443-518-4297.
Okay.
And he can get in touch with me.
And if they want to be a part of the senior choir, just get in touch with you with the same information?
Call the Bain Center.
Call the Bain Center.
Or call Jim. Call anybody.
Okay. You have an open call for if you're a senior, love to sing, get in touch with Rita. That's right. Or Jim. Rita, thank you so much. You made my day.
You're very welcome.
And again, that's going to do it for me, Ron Stafford. Check out Rita's information online. Just, she's got a wonderful bio. I mean, she even sang with Perry Como. I mean, it's just, she's just fantastic. Rita Mayhew, she is the coordinator of music therapy here at Howard Community College. That's going to do it for me, Ron Stafford. Thanking you so much for being right there. Until next time, make it a great day and an even better tomorrow.